for several weeks. Actually, not last week, because Bruce spoke last week, but 2 weeks previous to that, we've been talking about secrets of the abundant life. In this examination of the secrets of abundant life, John chapter 10, verse 10, remember what Jesus said there, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thus far we have seen the secret of living is bearing fruit. Or maybe I should say the secret to living is bearing fruit. For in the very act of bearing fruit, we experience the joy, the happiness, assurance, and peace, which constitutes this abundant life. The secret to bearing fruit is abiding. We noted in our last study, for we abide in Christ. John 15, verse 5, remember he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Our Lord supplies the strength that enables us to bear fruit. As Paul would phrase in Philippians 4, at verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But what is the secret to abiding in Christ? How can we be sure to have access to the strength that Jesus provides? And so again, we turn to Jesus' discourse on the vine and the branches, as recorded in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We read that previously when Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and the true vine, he said, and ye are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So shall you be my disciples. That word so indicates the reason we are disciples is by bearing much fruit. I want you to think with me in our study tonight about the secret of abiding is obeying. The secret of abiding. In order to abide in Jesus, there must be obedience, obeying his commands. Remember John 15, there at verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, there's a condition. If you keep the commandments of our Lord, we can abide in his love. In John 15, at verse 14, he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so, we are doing what our Lord requires of us in order to be in his love, in order to be his friend. This restated by his beloved disciple John in 1 John chapter 3, at verse 24. There John said, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. You want the Lord to dwell in you? You want to dwell in him? The secret, keeping his commandments. That's obedience, doing what he said. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We have the Spirit of God within us because he has given us this new life through Jesus Christ. We have spiritual life that makes us part of the family of God. And so the secret of abiding is obeying. The principle of abiding through obeying is something we need to think seriously about. We are governed by Jesus and his relationship with his Father while here on earth. Just think about what Jesus did while he was here. He kept his Father's commandments. And so he continued to abide in his Father's love. We noted in John 15 to verse 10. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus did his Father's will. There are a number of passages that illustrate Jesus' desire to keep his Father's will. John 4, there at verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The word that's translated meat there involves his business. My business is to do the will of him that sent me. This is what I'm all about, doing the will of him that sent me. He said in John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In John 6, verse 38, he said, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There's three passages that very distinctly tell us that Jesus' purpose, his business here on earth, was to do his Father's will. And so this is the idea that we need to follow, the principle of abiding through obeying. Jesus demonstrated that so vividly. These should govern our conduct as Christians, just like they governed our Lord's conduct as the Son of God. We too are sons. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And so we abide in Christ by keeping his commandments. This is 1 John chapter 2, beginning there at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Hereby. I mean, by what? Well, keeping his word. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby, that is by this, we know that we are in him. He that said he abided in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And we read three passages that made it abundantly clear that Jesus said his purpose, his reason for being here was to do his Father's will. And so if we abide in him, we do like he did. And what he did was keep his Father's commandments. If we do otherwise, we prove ourselves to be liars. If we profess to know him and don't keep his word, we're simply liars. So, the secret to abiding is obeying. Now, this may be a surprise to some. Some claim to abide in Jesus, who will not do his will. Many just flatly refuse to do his will. When he requires certain things of them to be a part of his kingdom, they refuse to do that. So the scripture calls him a liar. The importance of obedience is stressed all through the word of God, beginning in the beginning of time. God said to his creation, Adam and Eve, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But what happened? You know the story. The devil tempted Eve, and she saw that the fruit was pleasant to look at. It was good for food, and it was desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and ate of it and gave it to her husband, and he ate also. They realized they were naked. They made themselves aprons of fig leaves. God came down to commune with them. Asked where they were. They were hiding. They knew that they were naked. God said, who told you? Have you eaten of the fruit? Well, they began to try to lay the blame on somebody else. Adam said, the woman you gave me, She gave it to me. He said, the serpent beguiled me. And I ate. Ultimately, they tried to lay the blame on God. Refused to take responsibility for what they did. They disobeyed God. As a result, they did die. They were driven from the presence of the Lord. Separated from Him. That's what death is. A separation. They were separated from God physically and spiritually. And they began to die physically because they were separated from the tree of life. God separated them. He said, lest they take of the tree of life and live forever. So they began to die physically. They disobeyed God's commandments. So all through Scripture, you can find the importance of obeying God's will. But let's think a little bit more about the importance of obedience. As we noted, obedience is stressed in the Old Testament. It's stressed with the nation of Israel. Over and over, you can find examples of the beginning as a nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, there at verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. God expected his people, Israel, to obey his commandments. Later, as the prophets tried to turn them from their apostasy, Isaiah chapter 1, beginning there at verse 18, Isaiah said, come now, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now here's the condition. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. One of two things. No in between. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured. You're going to be eaten up. Eaten up with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's what God said. That's what he meant. You can read the example of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, there verse 22. God had told King Saul to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Or some people pronounce it the Amalekites. And Saul came back from battle. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of ram. Well, what had happened? Saul came back and said, we've done what God said to do. We destroyed the Amalekites. Can you just see Samuel putting his hand to the ear like this and saying, so how come I hear sheep bleeding and oxen lowing? If you've done what God said, God said, utter, destroy, don't leave anything that breathes. Man, woman, child, animal, whatever. Kill them all. Well, Saul said, well, the people, they brought back the best of the animals to sacrifice. And I spared Agag the king. And that's when Samuel makes this statement here. Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken is the fat of ram. Now listen to verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because I have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now think about this. Saul did almost everything God said to do. We would say today, he did 99.9% of all that God said to do. He destroyed everything except a few animals, the best to sacrifice. And only spared one individual, the king. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? If you did 99.9% for your boss today, he'd probably be pleased with you. God said, it's rebellion. You've got to do all that he said. Because I have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This was learned by Solomon in his search for the meaning of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. King James Version has the word duty in italics there. Some of the newer translations will simply say this is the whole of man. In other words, this is what man is all about. Has been since the beginning of time. Doing God's will. Keeping His commandments. This obviously is also expressed in the New Testament. As we noted by Jesus on several occasions, He made the remark that He had to do the will of the Father. During His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. This is the judgment scene that Jesus is depicting here. There's going to be people there that talk about how religious they've been, how much they've done for the Lord. Now listen to what he said. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And they said, well, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. Jesus said what they were doing was lawlessness. That's what iniquity means. Working contrary to law. They were doing a lot of religious things, but it wasn't according to the will of God. There are countless millions of people today that are doing a lot of religious things. It's not according to the will of God. That's why it's so important that we give due consideration to what the Word of God says. As you continue reading in that same chapter, in verse 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Hearing and doing. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and fell not, but was founded upon a rock. And everyone heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Did you ever stop to think that both of these people built? Both of them built a house. They were both working, but one was built on a foundation that was sure. It could stand the test. The other was built on a foundation that would not stand. But they were both builders. This illustrates the importance of following the will of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How can we call him Master if we're unwilling to do what he says? In describing his true family in Mark chapter 3, beginning there, verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sin unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You want to be part of the Lord's family? You got to do his will. When he gave the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me both in heaven and the word. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching those that you baptize, those who believe and are baptized, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. This is also illustrated by the apostles and their preaching and their teaching. And Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, when he went down to the household of Cornelius, he said, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness accepted with him. In verse 48, he said, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. He commanded them to be baptized. This is a command of God, but so many people in the religious world today refuse to accept this as a command. They say it's not necessary. You don't have to be baptized in order to have forgiveness of sin, in order to be a part of the family of God. Just believe, that's all you have to do. But this was a command. In Acts 17 and verse 30, Repentance is taught. The time this evening God winked up and now commanded all men everywhere to repent. In Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul said, but God be thanked. Now where you were the servant of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which will deliver you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When were they made free from sin? When they had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that system of teaching. They obeyed from the heart. Then they were made free from sin. And so all these have to do with the idea of obedience, doing what the Lord requires of you. And so you see the absolute necessity of obedience. We can't read very much of God's word without realizing that obedience to God's command are essential if we're going to enjoy God's blessings. You remember Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Obedience. So have you obeyed the commands of our Lord and the commands that he gave through his apostle? The apostle Paul himself said, you need to understand that the things that I teach are the ways of the Lord. And he says, I teach everywhere in every church. And so just consider with me a few commands that we have to obey if we're going to abide in Christ and he in us. We're not going to spend a great deal of time on this because most of you already know these. In John 3, 1 John 3, verse 23, John said, this is his commandment. Now get that. This is his commandment. That you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Belief is a commandment. In Acts 17 to verse 30, now commands all men everywhere to repent. It's a command. In regard to confession of our faith, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is not given in the form of a command, but Jesus said, if you don't confess me, I'm not going to confess you. If you will confess me, I'll confess you. Confession is absolutely necessary. It's part of our obedience to the Lord. And we already noticed in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. Remember we read when Peter was teaching Cornelius, he commanded them to be baptized. It's a command. But it doesn't end there. We have to, as Christians, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then be glory both now and forever. Amen. This doesn't say this is a command, but this is a direct statement, an emphatic statement. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is in the form of a command, even though it doesn't say, I command you. But he said, this is what you're to do. Grow. As children of God, then we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, the writer said, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good work, not forsaking. The assembling of ourselves together is a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The word forsake involves the idea of abandoning, giving up on. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is. Don't do that. That's a command given in a negative way. If you made that a positive command, it would say assemble. It wouldn't say don't forsake. It would just say assemble yourselves together. So we are to assemble ourselves together. As Paul would say in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We are to devote ourselves to prayer. Colossians 4, there at verse 2. continue in prayer and watch at the same with thanksgiving. Obviously, these are just a few samples of passages that illustrate to us that as children of God, we have to submit ourselves to Him. In order to be His children, we have to submit ourselves to Him in obedience to His will. It doesn't end with the primary obedience act. One is baptized into Christ. One of the elders of the church in Beacon, Illinois, where I used to preach, used to say that too many times we baptize people, we leave their feet dangling in the baptistry. Babes in Christ have to be taught. That's our responsibility. So that they can grow. We grow by studying, meditating on God's Word. We have responsibilities to obey the Lord. The secret of abiding is obeying. To those who faithfully obey our Lord, to them are given these comforting words in Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are the dead, or blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, they may enter through the gates into the city. Another place it says, blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Those who die in the Lord are happy. Blessed are those, or happy are those who do His commandments. These are comforting words for those who are part of the family of God. The secret to living, as we know, is bearing fruit. The secret to bearing fruit is abiding. The secret to abiding is obeying. In our next study, we're going to talk about the secret of obeying. For now, consider the question. Have I obeyed my Lord, and am I continuing in my obedience to Him? That's the question that each of us must consider to find out if I am abiding in Christ. The secret to abiding is obeying. And so I can determine if I am abiding in Christ, if I am obeying the Lord. Am I obeying the Lord? That's the question. Are you obeying the Lord? Have you obeyed the Lord? The only way you can determine that is to look in the Scriptures and see if you've done what the Lord requires of you. If you have, you've been added to His family. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Paul said, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you are in Christ, then you have to serve Him according to His will. If you desire to abide in Him. It may be that there are those in this audience this evening and realize that they are not abiding in the Lord because they're not obeying the Lord. If you've never obeyed the Lord by being baptized for the remission of your sin, you can do that tonight. If you have and you realize you haven't continued in your obedience, you can correct whatever errors, sins may be in your life. You can do that tonight. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come and we stand and sing for your encouragement.